My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I'm so happy to be with you this week. I hope that you had a wonderful Christmas holiday. For anyone who celebrated, I hope that you were surrounded by people who loved you or who love you currently and gave you a lot of care and comfort. And if this was a lonelier holiday for you this holiday season, I really do pray that you found some places where you created your own joy, that you created your own memories, created your own traditions, reclaimed it as your own. And if you have not done that, if you're listening to this when this is posted, you still have time to do that for New Year's and even for Valentine's Day, in case those holidays may be a little bit hard as well. Today, we are talking about three ways that a fear of abandonment may impact your relationship. The reason why we need to talk about this is, you know, on this podcast, we talk about all the ways that our unresolved childhood trauma can manifest as love addiction, love avoidance, love deprivation, and codependency, and all the things in between. And so fear of abandonment is a really, really common trauma that many of us have experienced because of the things that we've gone through, because of either actual neglect that happened to us, whether or not it's emotional or physical neglect, abuse, loss, whether or not it's because a person chose to leave, whether or not they passed away early, whether or not they were physically present but emotionally unavailable, if you were scapegoated as a child, if you were favorited, but only favorited when you acted in a certain way. There are so many ways that fear of abandonment can manifest. And so, unraveling and figuring out the reasons why it happens is important, but also is really important for us to identify what exactly is happening in our relationships so that we can solve it, so that we can come to the other side of it. You know, I think that is one of the ways that we start to reclaim our power, instead of us just knowing that something is wrong, for us to have a direction to go. So that's what we're going to talk about today. This episode is inspired by the How to Make It Work workshop that is happening on Wednesday, January 8th at 6:30 p.m. CST. I will be hosting a workshop so that those of us who have, relate to either love addiction or love avoidance, if we're in partnership with someone who has another insecure attachment style, how do we make it work? It is possible to make it work. And I'll talk a little bit more about that after the jump. But that is the workshop that we're hosting. And by the way, so sorry to everyone who went to register last time and the link was not working. Thank you for notifying me. It is working now. And so I look forward to seeing y'all there to begin the new year. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So, like I said, I did a live talking about can love avoidance and love addicts make it work. It's on YouTube or Instagram for those of you who are on those platforms. And I'll see if I can post it on Facebook as well. One of the things that I said at the beginning, because in talking about this workshop that's coming up about how to make it work, I said that I wanted to do this because this is one of the most common questions that I get. Can we make it work? And if so, how? And I think a lot of times teaching, including my own teaching, can make it sound like unless you are securely attached and perfect and you have no insecurities and you're able to fully take care of yourself and communicate perfectly, you are going to be destined to continue to be attracted to either avoidance or be avoidant yourself. And that's not the case. We are always going to be in a state of healing, in a state of growth. And you may get to a place where you feel as if you have healed your attachment style or healed your intimacy disorder to no longer feel as if you relate more to the symptoms of love addiction and insecure attachment, anxious attachment styles. And now you relate more with being securely attached. But that one does not mean you will not ever have problems in your relationships ever, because you are still two different people from two different backgrounds with different communication styles. And the way that one person is going to react will trigger the other person. And so you're still going to have to learn how to merge these worlds together and how to make the connection last. But so you'll still always have problems, no matter what your attachment style is. But it also can, the second thing is, it can reinforce this belief that, that there's a problem in you if you don't show up in a certain way. And until you get to this magical, place in the world, that's when love will always forsake you. And also this other person, that's the other thing too. I guess there's three things, is some of us are in partnerships already, partnerships with people that we deeply love and that deeply love us. But the love addict found the love avoidant, or in attachment burns, the person with anxious attachment found the person who is avoidant, dismissive, or fearful avoidant. And they both truly want to be with each other. They both truly want to show up for each other, but they just don't know how. They keep missing the mark. They keep speaking a different language that keeps either pushing away the other person, injuring the other person. And now you're having to work through all of these mishaps just to get to a place where y'all can feel safe with each other again. And so I don't want anyone to ever think, there are some people in our life that are truly, they're unavailable and they are predators and they're dangerous. That's why I wrote the book, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, so that you can distinguish who are the people who are just, learning about life, learning about the world, and who are the people who are the dangerous ones, the predators, the ones that I need to stay away from, right? How can I tell the difference between that? Because some of us will partner with people that are, we think, well, they're just being human, and nobody's perfect, only to find ourselves heartbroken on the other side of it. We need to know when it's the right place for us to move forward in. But yes, absolutely. If you are currently or in the future in a partnership with someone who has a different attachment style as you, or they connect in a different way, as long as you are both, wanting to work on this, or even you, this is a person that is really committed to you, but you're the one who's showing up and doing your side of the work, it will change the dynamics. And that will be different than you doing all the emotional labor, which I'll talk about at the workshop, to make sure I prevent people who are coming to the workshop to try to fix a relationship with someone who is low effort, not because they're stuck, but because they may not be the partner that's actually committed to you. I'll talk about the difference there as well. But all relationships are duos, and it takes two to tango, as people say. So if we show for our part, then it will definitely affect the interactions on the other side as well. Okay. So I could talk more about that later, but if you're interested in coming to that workshop, you can go to blackgirlsheal.org/ make it work. Make it work. The blackgirlsheal.org slash make it work. And also, in the case that somehow that link is not showing up, is also in the main menu at the top of the page where it says work with us. You can find it there. And you can submit questions. If you cannot join me live, you can submit questions and I will answer all of your questions on the video. I said before, I thought about doing this as just a course, a little mini course for people to take, but I was like, people are going to have specific questions about their situations. So if anyone would like to share what's going on with them, I would like to be able to coach people live to get that one-on-one support. All right. So today's episode, we are talking about the fear of abandonment, because this is one of the things that can and will affect your relationship if it goes unchecked. If you are in a relationship with someone, whether or not they are securely attached or if they are avoidant, if you are someone who's showing up more in your love addiction, like, I need this person to love me back, it will create some issues. So we're going to talk about those issues today so that you can be able to point them out so that you can work on a plan to address them. Okay. So the first thing that will show up if you have unaddressed fear of abandonment in your committed relationship is you will have increased anxiety and clinginess. You'll have this constant fear that you might be abandoned, that they may change their mind, that there might be somebody else, that they may be getting bored with you. And so you're going to constantly need reassurance from them and become very clingy to needing that affirmation. So this is not to poo-poo on those of us who love words of affirmation as your love language. Words of affirmation is a legitimate way that people give and receive love. Giving and receiving compliments, hearing validation is okay. But it's when no matter what, how many compliments they give you, you don't believe them. You need more and more and more and more for you to feel safe to the point where now when they say it, it's as if it doesn't even touch you at all. Your anxiety is still on level 10. It's still on level 12, no matter what actions they are doing, because your fear of abandonment, your fear of not being good enough did not start in that relationship. It started way before that relationship. And so you got with this person, you started to feel the endorphins and the hormones and the dopamine and the honeymoon and all that stuff, the intimacy and contact and everything. And it started to give you a temporary relief from feeling not wanted, not good enough, unimportant, forgettable, whatever it is that your core negative beliefs have told you. You got in this relationship and you got temporary relief from that because it was a distraction, but it was not the solution. The solution starts and ends within you, which is very, very hard because sometimes we just want to have, if I can take Benadryl when I'm having an allergic reaction to knock it out, why can't it just be something that's simple when it comes to relationships? And relationships may be a balm, but they are not the cure. Okay. And so what happens is the more you're in this relationship, the longer you're in the relationship, even if longer is a week, a month, a year, the things that used to help you before no longer feel nurturing to you. And so that puts a lot of pressure on your partner. It puts a lot of strain on you in the relationship as well. It's harder for you to feel safe. It's harder for you to feel as if you even want to be there. And then that can create distance. Okay. The second way that fear of abandonment can affect your relationship, an unchecked fear of abandonment will affect your relationship, is you may misinterpret what they are doing. So, kind of like the one before, we will see other people's actions through our own limited perspective. So everyone in the world has their own lens with how they see people, they see government, they see culture, they see whatever. And for the most part, most people feel pretty good with how they see the world. They feel like they have a good understanding on what's going on. And so with that said, if part of the lens that you're seeing things through is riddled with a lot of trauma of times that people have let you down, with times that people have said something but it meant something else, times when love was temporary, when people would use things against you, when people would come and go, whatever your trauma would be, you may interpret someone's neutral or loving action as a threat. You may interpret their ability to just have normal boundaries as a sign that they are leaving you or that they do not care. You may interpret that they are legitimately busy and they have their own life, not their own life, and that they don't care about you, that they don't want to talk to you, that they don't want to spend time with you. You will interpret the fact that they have their own hobbies and friends and interests as that you are not as important to them, because if you were, then they would either drop them to be with you, they would find time to spend more time with you, even if that meant cutting into this life that they already had established before. You may want, again, this goes back to needing that reassurance. You're going to need a constant clarity and constant confirmation that you are important to them, and you're going to need more and more and more and more, or you're not going to feel safe. And you're going to interpret either their ability to not show up for you in that way or to not say words in the way that you need them to say it and in the right tempo and the right moment and everything else, as if they don't really care, as if this isn't going to work. Depending on how your trauma shows up, you may also feel some shame for the fact that you're even bringing this up. So not only do I not feel good enough because of whatever is happening in the relationship or not happening in the relationship, because I'm starting to feel bad and I'm starting to feel really exposed, and the love and confirmation stuff you used to give me ain't hitting like it used to anymore. Now you're seeing how insecure I feel, and now I really feel like crap, right? And so it just continues to kind of snowball on top of each other.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So we already know that we're living in a world where there are so many things that can interrupt our health and hormones. With there being thousands of hormone disruptors in our environment, with everything from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, it is even more important that we keep our bodies regulated internally. When we can help our natural hormone processes, like the symptoms of our monthly cycles, perimenopause, and menopause, find relief and ease with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony's formula is made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Using science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressor and hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Some symptoms may include PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and loss of interest in intimacy. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. Happy Mammoths, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today. This will cause unnecessary conflict and strain because you can't solve a problem that didn't really get created within the context of the relationship. You'll just have all these circular arguments going over and over, around and round and round, where again, you may be needing something from your partner, you may be needing something from your friend, you may needing maybe need some type of assurance that they either cannot give you, or they've already given it to you many times before. But again, there's a deeper wound. So I haven't said this on the podcast recently, but I know I've said it before for those of you who've been to a podcast or listened to select episodes, but the phrase goes, if it's hysterical, then it's historical. If my reaction to a threat or to a trigger or to an argument is hysterical, meaning it's very big, it's very exaggerated, then that means it's historical. That means that it goes deeper. It means that it didn't start with this person. And so it means that I'm not going to feel relief and I'm not going to feel resolved until I figure out where did this wound and this trauma first start, right? So, I'm with my partner. They are not as verbally affirming as I would want them to be. They don't give me compliments all the time and da 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 da. So, I need to spend some time thinking about, okay, what is it about the words of affirmation that I need that feels like so bad when I don't get it? So, I may look around at it and I may say, okay, what is it that I feel like I need affirmation about? Look at all the different corners of your life and the compliments that feel the best when you get it and feel the worst when you don't get it, right? So let's say you have some things around your body image. Let's say you have things around like your body shape or how you look and something like that. So if your partner is not constantly affirming you and saying that you look great in the outfit or that they love your body all the time, or even if they are saying it, you still don't believe them and it's still hard for you to receive it. Then you got to think, okay, where did this like for myself come from? How long have I been feeling this? Where did this start? Right? And so you may be sitting and thinking, okay, well, maybe this started after college, when my body started to change a little bit. And you sit and you try to go with those type of emotions and you start to do some inner child work around that, even though that's an adult version of you. But you still feel like, no, that's not really hitting it. And then you start to think a little bit more, and you're like, well, high school was kind of hard. And high school is when I had an eating disorder. Okay, so when did that start? And you might start to think about all the stress and stuff that you had growing up. And you're like, then you start to think, okay, was that why I started to struggle with my body? Well, then you may start to remember. As you dig more into this and dig more into your healing work and dig more into your trauma history, you may think, okay, well, why was I stressed? What was going on? Oh, people were fighting a lot in my house growing up. Okay, is that why I was trying to distract myself? Is that why I was trying to have some control? A lot of times, eating disorders can be linked to not only body image things, but really needing control over environments that didn't give us a lot of control, right? So, was there a lot of fighting and everything that was going on in the house? All right. So, I'm dealing with that. I'm working through that. I'm still feeling some insecurity around this. And then I started to remember, oh, my mom would always look in the mirror and say negative things about herself. And she would say negative things about the woman that she thought my dad might be cheating on her with. Which is the reason why they were fighting. And so that created a complex in me about what my body looks like and what it's supposed to look like and who's beautiful and who's not beautiful. And if you don't have the right body, then maybe someone might leave you, right? And so jackpot. And so sometimes getting to the bottom of this work, getting to the bottom of our wounds, you will know exactly what the big one is, right? What is the big trauma where this started? And sometimes it's going to take time, y'all. I gave you that tree of different possibilities because I think sometimes we can get really disappointed or impatient with ourselves when we've already done this healing work, and then the same insecurity will come back, and we're like, I am supposed to be done with this. I am supposed to be through this already. I already did this stuff. I did Sheena's program. I did all this stuff, and now I'm in this relationship that I wanted and I prayed for, but I'm still feeling this way. What's going on? Well, sometimes it's an onion. Sometimes it's about digging deeper, sometimes it's about being gracious with yourself in a way that other people weren't before and letting yourself know. I'm going to, it's okay. I have myself. It's okay for me to take my time to work through this. I'm enough. This fear of abandonment, which is this fear of being left because there's something wrong with you, because you're disappointing to other people or you're not enough in some way. We have to start talking to ourselves and giving ourselves the affirmation and care and love that other people haven't given us, right? So it starts with, right. Number three, if I was teaching y'all live, I'd be like, see number three if you're ready. Number three, but I'll go ahead and say it myself. The third way that your fear of abandonment can negatively affect your relationship is if you have an emotional dependence on them. So this might sound like the other two, and there's definitely some overlap, but emotional dependence can look like what we commonly know as codependency, which is you're needing this person not only for verbal validation and reassurance, but they become your person. They become your best friend. They become your confidant. They become the person that understands you more than anyone else. And on one hand, like, especially if you have been with a person for a long time, if you built a life together, if you're living in the same home, of course, this is going to be a person that's getting to know you more intimately in some respects than maybe some other relationships, right? Like that's common. But when you make a person your one and only, when y'all have breakdowns, it makes it that much worse because then who am I going to talk to about this person that I'm breaking down with, right? That's one thing. And then also it puts a whole lot of pressure on the other person to show up in all these ways and be all these things. But really, when it comes to those of us who are struggling with an insecure attachment and love addictive behaviors, when that person becomes our everything, it is very easy for us to slip into not being able to be okay at all until we know that they are present, until we know that they are near, until we know, like, we almost try to merge into becoming one whole blob with them. Like, we want to move as one, think as one. And that's where we start to, it's like this inner lack of security is as if we have hopped metaphorically onto our partner's back, and we have decided they're giving us a piggyback ride, and we are holding on to them, right? And so at first, the person might be like, okay, all right, I guess we're rocking together. But then over time, you're getting heavier, and also you're starting to feel insecure, so you're starting to choke them out. Like, your arms are around their neck, and like, you're choking this person out while you're on their back, trying to hold on to them and keep them tight. And honey, you can be just as connected to your person if you are walking instead of on their back, riding piggyback, if you were walking side by side with them holding hands. What does that look like? That metaphor would look like they have their own life and hobbies and friends. You have your own life and hobbies and friends. And the holding hands is the things that you get to do together. You may have your joint hobbies and friends and places of worship and things that you do together, but you're two different people and you have emotional fulfillment from other areas as well. Again, being in a committed relationship, that gets a lot easier to slip into this person being your one and only for all the things, right? Those of you who may be either homebodies or have been in relationships with homebodies, you know how after a while you get excited. Like, y'all might have joint plans to go hang out with people. And then when that cancellation text comes, perfect, because I didn't want to go out anyways. And you're already my person, you're already my company. I'd rather just stay home and nuzzle and cuddle and, kiss on and do nothing or do everything with you tonight, right? And that's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing to be able to find your person. But when that's the only access and source that you have, then it chokes out the ability for your other person to be able to have their own identity, for them to be able to breathe, to be able to miss you, right? To be able to have stories that they do in their own life, so that when y'all come back, y'all actually have things to talk about, that you have actually have ways that you can still sharpen each other and grow because you have your own paths that you're growing in together. And so it becomes more of an enhancement, right? Like, you enhance their life and they enhance your life. Like, you enhance their life and they enhance your life. I hope I said that right. Because you're playing off of each other. You're bringing your creations together to make your lives and your purposes better. And that's something that's more healthy than I'm so afraid you're going to leave me that I'm going to slowly start to drop some of these other things that are important to my life, whether or not it is friends, whether or not it is my hobbies, whether or not it is my work things, whether or not it is focusing on my kids, whatever it may be. Am I going to let these things slip, going to my place of worship, dropping my spirituality, whatever it may be, so that I can spend time with you? And sometimes it happens slowly, and for some of us, it happens immediately, because we're afraid that to have distance with this person, even if it's temporary, even if it's momentarily, even if it's just because of a hobby, then that means that they are going to leave us. And so we have to work on our own security and know that we are deserving, right? And that you are a catch and you are a prize and you are a treasure. And the person that is for you is going to remember that. And the person that's not for you may need to leave so that you can have the relationship with the person that you need. Now, I know that just triggered 80 million people who have abandonment issues, who might be with a person right now that you're feeling very insecure around. That is, so I am not telling you that that means you need to leave now. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you are incredible. You are incredible. You are incredible not because you're in this relationship. You're incredible because you are. You were incredible before you were with this person. You're incredible now. And you add incredibleness to this relationship because of you, not because of the partnership. The partnership does not validate you. And I want you to know that that identity and that beacon of light is the same now as it was yesterday and as it will be a year from now, no matter what partnership you're in. Because you are the magnet. You are the answer. You are the beginning and the end of this, right? So I want you to reclaim your power back to yourself. And to do that, you may need to heal the parts of yourself that make that hard for you to believe and hard for you to receive. Okay. So, like I said, I'm going to be talking about all of these things and more how to do these things at the workshop on Wednesday, January 8th. At 6:30 p.m. CST. Again, if you cannot join me live, you can submit your questions about anything that I've shared here. And if you're currently in a partnership with someone who has a different attachment style as you, then you can come and share those questions as well. If you currently have either a love avoidant attachment style or a love addicted attachment style, and you're still attracting people on the other side of that, which is normal, y'all. It is so normal for us to attract people. There's a phrase that goes, we attract people whose bite matches our wound, right? So we find the people who like fit into this like ball and socket kind of thing. Because relationships are just mirrors where we get to play things out. We find the person, we find the relationships that have the things that we need to work through, right? And if you're in a relationship with someone who loves you and wants to work on it and wants to be there for you, then that is a very safe place to work these things out. And so we're going to talk about that. What does that look like when you're with a partner who is fully invested in the relationship and you're trying to work through either love avoidance or love addiction? And what do you do if you are with someone who is not really invested in the relationship? What are the signs of that? And then what do you do on the other end of that as well? Okay. So that is it for now. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. And I look forward to seeing you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves. And I will see you maybe at the workshop, blackgirlsheal.org/make it work. See y'all soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.